I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
John's got some vacation time. I'm here with Deborah Mark, the news presenter. I was excited to get on the air today. We are trying to get any and all guests we can for this story out of Norco, out in Riverside County. I watched the news last night. I couldn't believe it. In fact, I've watched the video probably about 50 times already since yesterday afternoon. Craig Cope is an 80-year-old business owner in Norco. His business is the Norco Market and Liquor. Just before 3 a.m. the other night, he noticed some suspicious activity outside the door of his store. And sure enough, he was ready because he was right. A guy came in with a gun and wanted to rob the place. But Craig fired off his shotgun and he struck the intruder in the shoulder. We're going to play the full story. It is unbelievable. This is an 80-year-old man who apparently suffered some heart problems after that and supposedly is recovering at home. But this is the spotlighted story of the day because for all the frustration we're having about crime and all that is not being done by people like DAs and the laws of California and the criminals that are loose on the streets, this is what a man has to do to protect his business. He was ready and he responded immediately. And you can call it whatever you want. I don't think there'll be any charges ever filed against Craig Cope. And I think you heard Deborah Mark's news story that he's getting a lot of support from local people. So we'll play the story coming up in the next segment and talk about it some more. But first, we start the John and Kent show with the big international story. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, Democratic Congress member from California, 82 years old, has arrived in Taiwan today. And the Chinese, after saying that they weren't going to stand for it, well, so far, they're not doing much except for a bunch of military exercises, like saber-rattling stuff. We're going to talk to Jay O'Brien, ABC News for KFI, for more on the story. Jay?
Hey, Ken, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? So how's this being received in Washington?
It's good. That's the million-dollar question. The biggest question right now is how Beijing chooses to respond, as you just alluded to. There are planned military exercises now in the waters around Taiwan. These are live fire military exercises. But so far, that's the extent to which we've seen China go to counter this trip. We've seen some pretty sharp rhetoric from Beijing. You've seen some of the statements out there. Those who will play with fire will perish by it. That was from Xi Jinping to President Biden. And then we saw Chinese officials calling this a serious violation of what's called the One China policy, which is China's claim to Taiwan that the U.S. doesn't officially dispute. But other than that, we are not certain as to where Beijing goes from here. And what the White House is saying is that Beijing's response to this diplomatic visit from the speaker is up to Beijing, meaning that the speaker's there. She's wheels down. She's touched down. She's spending the night in Taipei, Taiwan's capital. And where we go from here diplomatically, the White House says, is up to Beijing.
Now, explain to our listeners, what really is the relationship between the United States and the government of Taiwan? I guess it was an agreement from 1979 that was reached over this.
Exactly right. And so officially, the United States government doesn't dispute China's claim that Taiwan is a part of China. Taiwan is an island off the coast of China, obviously. And the Chinese government has laid claim to it. They do not say it's a sovereign state. They say it's a part of China. And officially, the United States' government's diplomatic position has always been that they don't dispute that claim. That's the official position. Now, the unofficial position is that the United States government has a very close relationship with Taiwan, primarily because it is a democratic government in the shadow of an autocratic government from China. We sell weapons to Taiwan. We have diplomatic relationships with Taiwan, et cetera, et cetera. All while not officially disputing China's claim that it is a part of China.
Now, apparently, there's about 20-some-odd million people that live in Taiwan, the island of Taiwan, as you mentioned. Did they have anything of a military themselves?
Taiwan has a military. It obviously is not the size of China's military. It does conduct military exercises, obviously not the scale to which China's does. But the question now is going forward diplomatically, how does China choose to act after the speaker's trip? And does that escalate militarily? Obviously, live fire exercises are some degree of an escalation because you're conducting military drills nearby Taiwan, and therefore that is a concern. But beyond that, what does Beijing do? There was some talk earlier in the year that because of Vladimir Putin's invasion of Ukraine, that Russia, some foreign policy experts have said, views Ukraine similarly to how Xi Jinping views Taiwan and does that embolden Xi Jinping. All of that was obviously talk. But again, how Beijing chooses to go forward is up to Xi Jinping and the Chinese government.
Now, she arrived on an Air Force plane, and she did have some kind of a military escort because China had said things like, if she does have military planes escorting her into Taiwan, that's okay for us to possibly shoot them down. Obviously, that didn't happen, but that was the threat, apparently.
And that was the bluster, exactly right, from the Chinese government. Now, the White House has said that the speaker has every right to travel with a military plane, because when speakers of the House and congressional delegations, for that matter, that don't include the speaker, travel abroad, they use military equipment. Military planes often have some, you know, pared down version of a military escort, nothing like, you know, the president or other diplomatic leaders when they travel abroad. But China did make that threat. In fact, there was some early reporting that China had claimed that it scrambled jets as the speaker's plane approached. Taiwanese officials have disputed that claim. But one thing's for certain is that the Chinese government has at minimum decided it's going to double down on this rhetoric condemning the trip. They posted a big post on Chinese social media that said, you know, there is but only one China, et cetera, et cetera. So that's how the Chinese government is at least planning to go forward in the next few hours.
Apparently, we do have some sort of U.S. military ship somewhere in that region of the world. Is that true?
Yes, that's true. There have been at least two, if I recall correctly, U.S. ships that have been moved into that region. Whether or not that's a response to the live fire exercises, the speaker's visit, or just moved on their own is somewhat up in the air. But again, it's those live fire exercises that will take place after the speaker leaves that is the next chapter of this story that's going to draw everyone's attention, and then how China decides to, if that's the capstone, if that's the last thing that they do, or if that's just one reaction in many.
Did people in Taiwan turn out to greet her, or was it just officials?
There was a number of people in Taiwan that turned out to greet her. In fact, if some of the footage that you see are people celebrating the speaker's trip. There was a number of Taiwanese people in the streets welcoming the speaker. There was even some footage of people who were there opposing the speaker's trip and saying, don't come to Taiwan. We also saw a pretty significant reaction on Chinese social media of people posting that they oppose the speaker's trip. This is obviously social media that's used by people on mainland China. So there was a variety of reaction. Back here at home, interestingly enough, there was significant positive reaction from Republicans on Capitol Hill, including Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, who said he supported the speaker's decision to go to Taiwan. He supported the message that it sent to the Taiwanese government. And he said that the Chinese government cannot tell members of Congress where they can go and where they can't go.
Yeah, and apparently, though, the Biden people are saying very little. They seem to want to be neutral on this visit.
Well, we've seen now from the White House after the speaker neared Taiwan and landed that it's, you know, the White House doesn't oppose the speaker's trip. And in fact, they've been saying that for the last few days, that it's not up to the administration to tell the speaker where to go and where she can't go because she's a co-equal branch of government. There was obviously some diplomatic concern that going to China at this point would perhaps imperil some diplomatic efforts that the administration was having with the Chinese government, including a call that the administration wanted to set up between Chinese President Xi Jinping and Chinese leader Xi Jinping and President Joe Biden last week. That call did take place, however, and the administration has continued to say subsequent to that meeting or that call between the two leaders that it's up to the speaker as to where she wants to go, and they can't tell her not to go anywhere she wants to.
Now, part of me said, what's the big deal? Apparently, there's been other congressional delegations that have gone to Taiwan. I guess she's just the highest ranking in a number of years.
Well, she's the highest ranking in about 25 years, and the last Speaker of the House to go was Newt Gingrich back when he was Speaker. And so, you know, decades have passed, obviously, since that trip. Pelosi now is the highest ranking official to go since that trip. But yeah, there have been other congressional delegations that have gone. There have been other Speakers of the House, obviously Gingrich, as we said, that have gone to Taiwan. But this is somewhat of a different Taiwanese government, but it's certainly a much different Beijing government than when Gingrich went in the 90s. And so the question really focuses on Xi Jinping and how he chooses to respond and how he views Taiwan as it relates to China, not just in the next few days responding to Pelosi's trip, but in the next few years and what actions he may or may not take against Taiwan in that time.
Yeah, I mean, the big thing here is the parallels to Russia and Ukraine. And everyone said back in February when Russia invaded Ukraine, oh, China's watching this because they may move on Taiwan. So it's interesting that she decided to make this trip just a few months after that. There's no official business she's going to conduct. This is really just ceremonial to say hello.
Well, yes. And her thought process has been that this trip underscores the United States' commitment to the fact that Taiwan is a democratic government in that region. And she said, quote, in the Washington Post, actually, right as she touched down, she released this op-ed and said, we cannot stand by as the Chinese Communist Party proceeds to threaten Taiwan and democracy itself. And so that really is the sentence that sums up the entire trip. It's meant to reaffirm to Taiwanese officials that the United States government, particularly the United States Congress, because Pelosi's a member of Congress, obviously, has their back.
All right, Jay, thank you very much for that report. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Ken.
All right, that's Jay O'Brien, ABC News for KFI, covering the Nancy Pelosi trip. She did arrive in Taiwan. That news came out yesterday that she was going to go. It wasn't a secret. Some thought that she might try to get in there without any kind of fanfare or announcement. But apparently she did land in Taiwan earlier our time today. I think she's going to stay a day or so. And basically all the Chinese have done so far is run military exercises. They've got military tanks across the way. Taiwan's an island off of China, so they're on the beaches of the other side, acting tough. There were some pro-Chinese supporters who showed up in Taiwan with signs. My favorite was, "Go home, Torblemaker." Well, they wanted to write the sign in English, so English media would pick up on it because they were telling Pelosi to go home, but they spelled it Torble. Go home, Torblemaker. The other one was good, though, was American Witch, go home. Calling Pelosi an American witch. All right, I got more coming up, and next I'll play a TV news story you got to hear if you haven't. You haven't seen the video, you need to. It's an 80-year-old liquor store owner in Norco who decided that he was not going to be robbed when a man came in with an AR-15 and pointed it at him. He was some distance away behind the counter, but he responded immediately with a shotgun blast. And that robber ran, and so did his accomplices. We'll get the full story coming up next here on the John and Ken Show on KFI. The story of the day, without a doubt, on the John and Ken Show comes to us from Norco, the Norco Market and Liquor Store. The business owner apparently has had that place 55 years, is 80-year-old Craig Cope. It was covered by almost all the news stations in town last night, complete with surveillance video, as he fired on a robber who came into the door of his store with quite the weapon, ready to rob the place. Here are the details from Fox 11 reporter Gina Silva.
It's a shooting the bad guys never saw coming. An 80-year-old man defends his business after armed robbers storm into Norco Market and Liquor.
I guess he gets what he deserves, so peace is done.
Customers of this longtime Norco business have a lot to say about this armed robbery that ends with the good guy winning the battle.
The criminals are in control of everything right now, and the fact that they turned around and showed him what for, I think it's amazing.
Everybody's brazen and thinks that they are owed everything and that they could do whatever they want, and it's not right to do that to people.
More businesses should be armed like that and defend their businesses like that.
The shooting happened on Sunday at 2:47 a.m. in the 800 block of 6th Street. The owner was standing right here watching all of the action on the security camera. As soon as he saw one of those guys pull the mask over his face, he knew trouble was headed his way.
He just prepared himself. He prepared himself and he stood right here and he just aimed. He aimed and shot.
The owner shot his rifle and hit the robber in the arm. Not a surprise to some customers.
You know, I'm not for gun violence, but he wasn't the one doing the violence. The people that came in were the ones doing the violence. And that's what we need to understand in our society. When people are doing violence against us, we have the right to protect ourselves.
I've seen him a couple of times while I've been here, and honestly, I can kind of expect that from him. He seems like a pretty bad old man.
I can tell you there were a lot of people coming in just to support the business and say they're very proud of the way he acted. But of course, a shooting, of this caliber is very stressful, traumatic. The business owner, who is 80 years old, did have a heart attack right after the shooting. But the good news is that I spoke with him this afternoon. He's doing better, and he will be out of the hospital tonight. And Alex, Christine, he is promising to do an interview with us once he settles in, and perhaps on Wednesday he'll talk to us about this traumatic experience and why he did what he did. Now, as for the four suspects, they have been arrested. Three have been arrested. The fourth one, the guy who got shot, is still in the hospital, but once he's released, he will be going to jail.
That's Gina Silva from Fox 11. Yeah, 80-year-old Craig Cope apparently had a minor heart attack from all the stress of this. Just to describe this, if you haven't had a chance to look at the video yet on one of the TV websites, he's behind the counter. It's got kind of a glass partition, plastic, whatever. But you can see Craig Cope, the 80-year-old man who's at his business at 3 in the morning. That's one dedicated guy. And, of course, he saw the surveillance cameras. He knew, you know, they parked in a handicapped spot. Holy mackerel. They pull up in this black BMW SUV. There's four of them, but only one gets out with that weapon. But once Craig saw that, he readied himself with the shotgun. And they're some distance from each other, but the robber just holds up the gun. He didn't shoot. But Cope fires off the shotgun, and of course, the pellet blast hit the robber, who goes running out of there. His three buddies are outside by the car, and they all realize, holy crap, you heard in that 2-minute-and-something-second story, we isolated it. This got played, I think, 4 or 5 times. This is the robber shouting frantically, "He shot my arm off." Let's play that part again. It's too good. That'll teach you. Yeah, you better run. I'm sorry. That's what we had. That's great. It's great. They have all the guys ended up at the hospital, so that was kind of the tell here because this guy needed treatment. Justin Johnson, 22, of Inglewood, Jamar Williams, 27, of LA, and Devon Broadus, 24, of Vegas, were arrested. I'd like to see what their criminal histories are. The guy that got shot is only known as a 23-year-old male. He's in critical but stable condition. But this is what people have to do to defend themselves now. And especially if you're working at 3 a.m. at a liquor store, that's got to be one of the most dangerous jobs in America. I would never do that. But this man's owned the store. It's his liquor store for 25 years. And he was on duty and he was ready and he just fired away. And the support is overwhelming. We talked a couple of weeks ago about what happened in New York City at that bodega when the clerk behind the counter got attacked by a man who was upset because the bodega owner got a little rough with a woman who was trying to buy chips with an EBT card that failed. And she went home, and I think it was a girl who was trying to buy the chips, but the woman that was with her went home and got her boyfriend, who came back and attacked the bodega worker who pulled out a knife. And they charged him briefly. This ain't going to happen in Riverside County. Nobody's going to charge. In Riverside County, I'm pretty confident that there are no problems for this store owner, Mr. Cope. But it just tells you and shows you once again, but you have to do something on your own because the laws in California are mostly on the side of the criminals. And this stuff is going on every day all over the place. It was just a few weeks ago, all those 7-Elevens got robbed. Remember that deadly spree by those two guys? They killed a couple of people. That could have happened to Craig Cope. He wasn't going to have that happen. He was ready. Quite a shot, of course, with a shotgun because of the way the pellets disperse. You have a pretty good shot of hitting your target in some manner. And let's play that again, Eric. I want to hear that guy again in pain. In pain!
Oh! It's a robber! It's a robber! It's a robber! It's a robber!
Yeah! And they just tore out of there. I don't know why the other three stayed outside. Only the one guy went in. Maybe they thought there's probably just some old guy behind the counter. This will be easy to do. So you just go in there and get the money. I think we're going to play that all afternoon, Eric. I just think it's going to be, forget the bumpers. Just keep playing that every time we come back. We got a note here that Craig Cope's wife said he'll talk to us tomorrow. He listens to the John and Ken show. Well, isn't that nice? Because you heard in the Fox 11 report that they're promising they'll start doing interviews tomorrow because he's still recovering foot. Hopefully, it's just a mild heart attack. But, Craig, we're behind you. Unbelievable and excellent stuff. All right, more coming up on the John and Ken Show on KFI AM 640. AM 640. Oh. Shot my arm off. And the whole show is a salute to 80-year-old Craig Cope, the Norco liquor store owner, who wasn't going to take it. He was not going to be robbed. He saw on the surveillance cameras that these guys were going to come into his liquor store. It was like 3 in the morning, Sunday morning, and they were there to take what's his. So he got himself ready with his shotgun when that guy came in with a gun, and that makes it clear he's robbing you. He fired away, and you hear the guy, he shot my arm off as he ran out of the store back to the cars with his buddy and took off, but they've all been arrested. Found at a local hospital because this guy needed severe treatment because you hear him yelling, shot my arm off. All right, it's the John and Ken Show. We'll have more on that story later in the show, and we hope to talk to Craig on the air tomorrow because apparently he does listen to the John and Ken Show. We'll be talking about the homeless next hour. A brand new study out about Gavin Newsom's stupid Operation Room Key or Home Key, the failure of that, and the failure of Housing First policies when it comes to homelessness. We turn now to Carl DeMaio. We've talked to him a couple of times recently, the chairman of Reform California. The California Taxpayer Protection Act may be headed to the ballot, which is good news. Let's bring on Carl and find out more about where the effort is today. Carl, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Ken.
Sure. So tell us, apparently you got the required number of signatures plus a cushion.
Oh, yeah. So this is a great day. We're very pleased and appreciative for so many of the thousands of volunteers who've been working for 6 months to get these signatures. This morning, we began the process statewide of turning in 1.4 million signatures to force a public vote statewide on the California Taxpayer Protection Act. Today was our deadline. So statewide in every election office, our signatures are being turned in today. And, you know, while we are not going to be on the November ballot, the good news is we will be on the very next ballot. And our initiative has a clawback provision that would overturn tax hikes that are adopted any time after January 1st of this year. And force them to be put back on the ballot for a real public vote with accurate, honest, transparent titles so that voters know that they're voting on tax increases, not the scams that we see happening on these elections for state and local tax hikes where the politicians lie and they hide the tax increase deep in the details of a ballot measure and never mention it in the title. So this is a great day. We're very pleased. It was not easy because of the COVID-19 post-pandemic era. It's hard to get signatures, and I think we're seeing that with the George Gascon recall up in Los Angeles. But very, very pleased that our volunteers worked so hard and that we're going to be able to give the voters of California a chance to stop tax hikes going forward.
Yeah, I mean, 1.4 million signatures statewide, Carl. That's a remarkable undertaking to do something like that. And you didn't have any big end donors behind this, did you?
We had some help from the California Business Roundtable and a coalition of business groups, but this would not have happened without the volunteers. There's just no doubt in my mind. You need both, really. And I will say, for so many years, I've criticized the business community for being so, well, parochial, I guess is the kindest way to describe it, where, you know, if the tax increase wasn't going to be hitting their industry or their business sector, they wouldn't help. What I view is that I don't care who's going to pay the tax. Government doesn't deserve more money, and we can't let the politicians divide and conquer. So anytime they have a tax increase, we've got to say hells to the no. I mean, the politicians have gotten so bad, they're like those robbers that you were just talking about in that fantastic video, walking into a convenience store with a big gun.
That's right.
And, you know,
taking what they want, right?
Gun violence. Not promoting gun violence, but the California Taxpayer Protection Act is the voter, is the taxpayer picking up an instrument of self-defense and basically firing back and saying, enough's enough. No more taxes for you. And we know that you've played games in the past, but we're going to end that. So a two-thirds vote requirement on all tax increases. All ballot titles must contain the word tax increase and flag very carefully and clearly that what people are voting on is a tax hike. They can't hide it anymore. And the third thing is it clearly defines what the word fee is so that the politicians can't call a tax a fee and avoid these requirements. So this is the most profound and impactful tax revolt measure in California since 1978's Prop 13. That's how big of a deal this thing is. And as I said, it will immediately roll back any tax that was imposed January 1st, 2022, going forward. And so any taxes that they had levied this year or next year will automatically be suspended and nullified by this measure as well.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the news story in the last 24 hours, Carl, but apparently it's already happening. The state is coming up short in its revenue projections. This has not been a good year for the stock market for the most part. And California, of course, lives off the very wealthy and all their capital gains. So it could be by next year or even sooner that they're talking about tax increases in Sacramento, because I think the surplus days are starting to fade away.
Oh, they're going to be talking about tax increases no matter how much money is sitting in the surplus. But I've always said these surpluses are phantom, and that we've been living beyond our means, that the politicians have a spending addiction. It's not a revenue addiction or revenue problem. It is a spending addiction problem. So if we keep raising taxes, and look, right now, Ken, we are tracking more than 80 local tax hikes across the state of California. And so we're in the middle of high inflation, and these politicians are saying, well, let's add to the burden by adding 80, you know, maybe more tax hikes. And there's a statewide tax hike on the ballot in November. So these people are never going to stop. And that's why we have to get this California Taxpayer Protection Act voted on, get it approved. And that way we can get a fair fight. We can reset the balance of power when it comes to tax measures. So
it will be called the Taxpayer Protection and Government Accountability Act, or will that get changed by somebody at the Secretary of State?
Yeah, that's what we called it. You know damn well they're going to call it the Murdering of Puppies and Kittens Initiative of 2024, right. No doubt about it. You know, which means that we need more people to join the campaign. I mean, getting the signatures is a great celebration, great milestone, but we're going to need grassroots support to get this thing passed. So I'm urging everyone, join the campaign at opposetaxhikes.org, opposetaxhikes.org. Because we are David versus Goliath. We need everyone working together to stop the tax hikes. And think about it this way. Every tax that they impose on you, that all adds up. So your involvement in this campaign actually will end up saving you a whole bunch of money. So go to opposetaxhikes.org, opposetaxhikes.org, and sign up.
And when might we find out if this qualifies for a future ballot?
So we submitted today. They do have up to 8 weeks to validate signatures. So I'll be giving an update basically every week until the process is over as to how many signatures have been verified. But we've already verified the signatures internally. We're very confident that we're going to get this thing qualified. And then, you know, we will know heading into the November election when ballots are mailed out whether the tax increases that are on the ballot could be nullified.
That's right.
And suspended by this initiative. So lots of moving parts, but the fight to take back California may sometimes seem awfully dark and frustrating, but we have no choice. This is absolutely something that we have to do if we're going to save our state.
All right, Carl, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right. It's Carl DeMaio, chairman of Reform California, with the good news that they turned in 1.4 million signatures, which should be enough to qualify the California Taxpayer Protection Act. Believe it or not, if this passes, and it won't be this year on the ballot, but hopefully it'll be next year, you will get to vote on tax increases out of Sacramento. In fact, I just saw in my local paper that they're putting something on the ballot to raise the sales tax in my town to the state maximum, which is like 10.25% or 10.5%. Are you freaking kidding me? The answer is no. It's an early no. All right, more coming up on the John and Ken Show on KFI.
Thank you so much.
All right. It's Carl DeMaio, chairman of Reform California, with the good news that they turned in 1.4 million signatures, which should be enough to qualify the California Taxpayer Protection Act. Believe it or not, if this passes, and it won't be this year on the ballot, but hopefully it'll be next year, you will get to vote on tax increases out of Sacramento. In fact, I just saw in my local paper that they're putting something on the ballot to raise the sales tax in my town to the state maximum, which is like 10.25% or 10.5%. Are you freaking kidding me? The answer is no. It's an early no. All right, more coming up on the John and Ken Show on KFI. My guest next hour will be from the Pacific Research Institute. They have put out a new study about these housing first homeless policies. They stink. They fail. California has at least 161,000 homeless people. We lead the nation by far. Oh, yeah, we're the most populous state, but it's still way out of proportion. We have the most homeless people outdoors. That's because it's nice to be outdoors here, but in many other places like New York City, there were more people that at least get inside to some form of shelter for part of the day. And I, you know, I'm still waiting. The city of LA, the county, I don't think ever released its homeless count numbers. I know San Diego County did. I think the Inland Empire. I know Orange County did. I have not seen the homeless count numbers for LA County. I don't know whether or not there's some problem. Usually they come out in June or July, and now we're in August. But Wayne Weingarten will join me about this report because it is the failure of housing first measures, which is what everybody that has been in charge of this city of Los Angeles, the county of Los Angeles, and the state of California has been big proponents of. It is a terrible, terrible way to go. Michael Schellenberger, who ran for governor, pointed this out, the failure of these policies. He didn't get enough votes. It would have been a way to go, at least on this problem, to find somebody like him, who's a former Democrat and staunch progressive, but has learned the error of the ways. And he only got a few percentage points in the governor's primary a couple of months ago. So a lot of the focus on this will be on the state of California's Project Home Key, of which Gavin Newsom, beginning with the pandemic, spent billions of dollars to put these people into hotel rooms. That didn't work either. And the homeless numbers continue to grow because the approach is completely backwards. So I'll talk about this after 3 o'clock, and Councilman Joe Buscaino is going to join me too next hour. Apparently, the city of LA has decided to ban the homeless from around the schools everywhere in the city of LA. In fact, the measure basically says that there are no homeless encampments that are going to be within 500 feet of schools and daycare centers. And the whole thing broke down into chaos because the homeless activists were there trying to shout down all the council members. They apparently for some time had to halt the meeting, but the measure was approved by a vote of 11-3, and I'll talk to Joe about it also in the 3 o'clock hour. Now for the vegan.
Who? Me?
Yeah, and you know, I'm on your side on this one. I don't like it either. Do you know who Gordon Ramsay is?
Yes, I do. That chef.
Yes, that chef.
They had a TV show.
Do you know the story already?
Or? No, I don't know the story.
He posted a video on TikTok. Well, you obviously haven't seen it, Deborah, but maybe you... Well, it's actually not nasty. It's just... It could have been. But in the end, he said no one was harmed in the making of this video. He walks up to a gated area full of little adorable white lambs. And he says, which one's going in the oven first?
Oh, gross.
He selects one of them and points to it and says, you. He then jumps into the pen and the sheep. What was funny about it, if you watch the whole video, it's not very long.
I don't want to watch this.
As he walks up to the gated area, they start to come over to him. One of them looks into the bucket like, are you going to put something in there for us? And they're thinking maybe it's feeding time. But when he climbs the fence to go in, they all startle and run away. And then they flock together, which was, you know, that's the way there's safety in numbers. It's kind of what a lot of animals do. They kind of flock together. Well, you can only pick off one of us. We're going to play you some of the audio where you hear him teasing the poor little lambs.
Going to eat you. Yummy, yum, 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 yum. Yummy, yum, 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 yum. Which one's going in the oven first? You. Oven time.
Oh, oven my time.
God. That is...
Now, he did not actually pick up one of the lambs and take him out of the pen. And he's claiming that the video, no lambs were harmed.
Then why did he do this?
Yum, yum, yum.
Oh, yuck. I don't want to hear that.
I guess he thought it would be funny because he's a chef and he was going to pick out
funny,
his own.
Not funny, Ken. Isn't it? It's not.
He was going to find the perfect.
I find it hilarious.
That's
perfect
so rude.
For his dinner.
Yum, yum, yum.
Truth be told, Eric found this story just for you, Deborah Mark.
Eric, I'm sorry, but he sounds like a fool, first of all. And second of all, I hope he gets a lot of negative feedback.
He has been.
Good.
I went to New Zealand some years ago, and I went to a sheep farm, and they were just adorable. They all clustered up by the fence because they were lambs. Those are the young ones, so they thought I was going to give it milk or something. And I watched them do the shearing. Do you object to the shearing, too, where they take the wool? Or
I don't know. The jury's still out on
that. What makes all her clothes?
No, I don't wear a lot of wool. Okay.
What do you wear, fake wool?
Faux wool.
But ever since then, I do not eat that particular meat. And I think it was just some sort of connection that I had from seeing them up close. That because my mother used to cook leg of lamb for Easter. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it was leg of lamb. It's like, oh.
Yep.
And I also found the meat kind of grisly. I was talking about yesterday, the chicken. I don't like the dark meat too much. But yeah, and then people would sit there with the mint jelly. You like lamb, Eric? Is that your...
Yeah, I like lamb and mint jelly. Yeah, all that.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Apparently, Ramsay had some sort of a meme years ago where he was trying to find the perfect lamb sauce from some of his viewers. But he did clarify that no animals were cooked in the making of this video.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah, in the video they weren't cooked, but who knows what he did off
right.
camera.
Right. A little bit later, all of them were put into the oven, right?
Eric, that was not cool.
What? I didn't do it. I just found
the
video.
He
saw the story and he thought we might be interested. And yeah. Oh, apparently it was blowback. Yeah. What a classless, out of touch, and heartless way to treat another sentient being. One
Absolutely.
Person.
Absolutely. Well
a
said.
A sentient being. Another called it animal abuse. You're like, they understand English. Like they knew he was saying yummy, yummy, yummy.
It just makes him sound like a ding dong saying that. I mean, who says that? Obviously he does.
Oh, trust me. He looked like a ding dong in the video, climbing up on the hay and over the fence, yeah, like rubbing his hands together, licking his lips.
Isn't he famous enough? I mean, he really has to resort to this.
He has 33.5 million followers on TikTok.
Find something better to do.
He's known as the angry chef. Isn't he always cursed out everybody in the kitchen? Isn't that his thing? Hell's Kitchen or whatever it's called?
He's
I did watch one of his shows years ago. And it was like, wow, he just beats everybody over the head.
Scary.
All right, coming up next, another report on California's homelessness. The idea that housing first is the answer rather than dealing with all the real problems we see every day on the street. We'll talk about it. John and Ken show on KFI AM 640. Deborah Mark has the news now.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.